Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
I want to talk to you today about keep going even when you can't see. Keep going even when you can't see. I want to be able to impart, I pray, something of life and encouragement, and I hope faith rises in you today. I really do. I want faith to rise in the heart of the people because there's no second best. There's no other plan B. We've got to be men and women of faith. That's what we're called to by God Himself. God Himself called us to be men and women of faith. And I want to talk to you today about keep going when you can't see, whereas on a common sense approach, you would say don't do that because if you can't see, you're going to trip, you're going to fall, you're going to bang into something. But we're talking this morning from a very spiritual perspective and having eyes to see even when we can't see naturally. And that really is the walk of faith for each and every one of us. That's what faith is. It's not walking by natural sight, it's walking by, you know, the sight of what God gives us from a very heavenly perspective. But our Bibles are filled with stories. And they are filled with stories of men and women everywhere, from cover to cover, who face giant situations. And they face big situations. And yet, as we read about their stories, the reason that their stories are in our Bibles are for our, you know, to do us good, to encourage us, to cause us to keep walking with God so that we can be inspired by what God did in them. And God, who never changes, is able to do great things in and through us as well. But the the stories of the men and women where we see God bring the unexpected, where He seems to at times do the unusual. He seems to show up in ways that I never saw that coming. I didn't see that He would somehow work it all out that way. And I personally love this scripture that we've been reading in the last few weeks out of the book of Kings, 2 Kings 4. I personally love that scripture for probably very personal reasons, but it has tremendous importance and significance to us right now. It really does. And Dan said something as he was up here just a few minutes ago, and I want you to hear. You know, the Bible speaks to us. If you've got ears to hear, you'll hear. And the Bible speaks to us that in that way because hearing isn't just about, you know, natural volume or sound. Hearing is, what is the Holy Spirit saying? How is God leading me? What is He saying in this moment? Where is God taking us as a church? What do we need to hear in this season of life? And that's having ears to hear, and that's the importance of the Word of God taking a hold of your life and you walking it out in ways that He shows you. And so we find in Scripture people, men and women, face big stories, big challenges in life. But this 2 Kings 4 scripture, I'm going to just pull out one or two verses out of that today because it's got something in it that I both love and something that bothers me. And the thing that bothers me is what I'm going to focus on for some of the time this morning in the minutes that we have left. But I'll read 2 Kings 4 verse 6 to you. And it says, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. And then the oil stopped. That bothers me. Right there, that bothers me. And I'll try and explain somehow, some way, why that bothers me. We know the context of this story, and you don't want to take away the miracle that's happening in this family. You do not want to diminish how God is showing up in this family story. You don't want to take away what God is doing in the lives of this woman and her two sons. It is undeniable. It is incredible. It is undeniable. There was a heavenly answer for her problems. And God was showing up and telling her what she needed to do in the moment. And church, I want you to know that God is showing up. That's what I was about to say. Dan said here a few minutes ago that when God is moving, sometimes we don't recognize it. We get so used to it. We become so familiar with it. Israel was the same. When Jesus was there, they did not recognize their day of visitation. He was among them and they didn't recognize him. They missed the moment. And listen, we are in something right now where God is doing something. He is restoring. He is reconciling. He is drawing people back to himself. He is bringing salvation upon people's lives. He's setting their lives in some kind of divine order and direction. He's putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and we are right in amongst that. So let's not make light of what God is doing. We've got to be right in the middle of this. And so this woman here that we read about in 2 Kings 4, she says, bring me another jar. And the son says, there's no more jars left. That's the end. And we know that this oil stops. Let me open this up a little bit. This woman has clearly got the energy to keep going. She's clearly got the desire to keep putting oil, you know, into the jars. She's got the desire, she's got the energy, she wants to keep filling, she wants to keep pouring, but it's the son who says to her, there's no more jars, and then the oil stops. That bothers me. From a church perspective, from a personal perspective, that bothers me. Because we get the story here that if there were more jars, there would have been more oil. If there was more to fill, God would have filled it. What happened in this story? Did somebody stop too soon? Did somebody cut the journey too brief? I don't know. We don't have all the details here, but we do know that they were told, do not ask for just a few. In other words, don't stop with the little. Don't stop with limitation. Don't stop when I'm telling you to ask for many. Don't stop with just a few. Somebody, something happened here that caused them to stop too soon. They were being taken into days of overflow. They were being taken into days of abundance. They were looking at the little to begin with, but God is saying, don't ask for a few. I'm ready to bring you into times of increase, abundance, overflow. So keep providing the jars and I'll keep filling it. Did they become weary? Did they become frustrated? Did they think, that's enough? I've gone far enough? We don't have that story in great detail. All we know is no jar, no oil. And I want to encourage you, I hope this morning, as a church, and I say this back to myself first before you hear anything, that God will fill what you put before him. There is a godly reason why we are talking this year about making room. And why we are making room for God, but it starts with us being available for him to do what he wants to do. God will fill what we put before him. He wanted to multiply. He wanted to increase. He wanted to bring them, even though they started with almost nothing, but he wanted to change their story. And their story was being changed. It was being changed. While they were in the process of the story being changed, they may not have recognized this story is actually under transformation as we speak. This story is starting to go from, you know, where it was to where God wanted them to be. But I guess only heaven records, did they stop too soon? I think they did. I think somebody, whether it was the sons who were out in the street or whether it was the woman, I don't know. But it seems to me as though the woman was ready and willing and able to keep on going and to keep on filling. I love what our church here at Highway does, and there's too many things to mention. But, you know, what we do with our schools and our Department of Child Services, our youth ministries, our work in India, Byron and Caleb are doing really, really well, by the way, and they'll be back Monday week. So our carols, our sowing into the community. That's how I see that. It's like the church on display in December every year, weather permitting, where we sow into our community, our discipleship programs, our prayer meetings, so much more. But what every one of those things are, it's another vessel to be filled. It's another cup to be filled with the story of God. It's another cup that God, do something in this life. There's another jar to be filled. There's another child to be helped. There's another person that we can pray for. There's another young person that has been reached with the message of hope for their future. It's another cup. It's another jar. It's another vessel. And it's generational, because these sons were involved in the miracle and it was generational. Why did the oil stop? And I believe somewhere in the story, the availability stopped. God quite literally said to me as I went to him with a question. And I said, God, why did that stop in my life? And his voice came back to me almost immediately and he said, that did not stop. You stopped. It wasn't a word of judgment. It was just a word of a little bit of correction that you stopped. In other words, you stopped being available. You stopped making room. You stopped being opened. You stopped putting yourself into a position where I could do something with that. And because you stopped, the oil stopped. I'll tell you a story. It inspires me. I've always liked watching swimming, whether it be Commonwealth Games swimming or Olympic swimming. Something in you says, I can do that. And you know you can't, but something in you gets, you know, it kind of gets, I don't know, it's called delusion, I suppose. But this little heading around this is called Swimming in the Dark, and it's a story taken out of the life of a world-famous American swimmer. His name is Michael Phelps. 28 medals, 23 of them were gold, and Michael trained in America for a good part of his career, but sometimes in his practice times, his trainer, his coach, would sabotage things in his training. His coach would punch little tiny holes in his goggles so that his goggles would fog up and his vision was blurred. Water would fill his goggles, and sometimes the trainer would even turn out the lights in the arena where Michael Phelps trained, so he would literally have to learn to swim in the dark. And what that meant was that he had to learn to count his strokes. Count the strokes. To get to the end of the pool, to get to the wall, to make his turns, he would have to count the strokes and learn how to swim in the dark. The Beijing Olympics were on, the year was 2008, and the starter's gun went off and he hit the water and he quickly realized something was wrong with the goggles. Only this time, it wasn't the coach or the trainer that had sabotaged the goggles. So he's swimming, he can't see the lines, he can't see how far he's come, and he can't see how far he's got to go. But at some point in the race, he said, I know what to do. I know what to do. I've been trained for this. I've been developed in the dark. I know how to count the strokes. I've learned how to swim when the lights went out. I've learned how to swim when I can't see the lines. I've learned how to swim when the goggles are blurred. My training kicks in. My disciplines kick in at this time. And at this point in his in this race, what mattered the most was what his coach had taught him. He'd been through this before. The early mornings of discipline and dedication kicked in. He couldn't see anything, but he could hear. And he could hear the crowd roaring, but because he didn't know where he was in the race, he didn't know who they were cheering for. He didn't know, you know, are they cheering for the person in front of me, or are they trying to just encourage me to keep going regardless? He just did not know. And counting the strokes, and he finally got to the end of the race, touching the wall, and he rips the goggles off and he looks up at the board and he sees beside his name, not only had he won the race, but he had got a world record. When you can't see in front of you, what matters the most is what God has taught you before. When the lines are blurred and I don't know what decision to make or what direction to take, what matters the most is what my great coach has taught me in the past. And those times of discipline and sacrifices, hardship in paying the price in prayer, what God had done back there, even so, even though it may have seemed hard in the moment, it was not to do you harm, it was to do you good up here somewhere. Those times when you feel like you're going through the motions in the dark. Those times when even a question or two has risen and said, God, are you in this race? Are you with me at times? And I believe it's in those times we go by memory. We go by memory. Our vision might be from here to here. But we go by the memory that our God is faithful and our God is true. And my memory says that God has seen me through before and he'll get me there again. My God has been with me and not abandoned me in the dark or in the light. He's been with me in the sunshine. He's been with me in the times when I don't know what's happening next. He's been with me before. I go by memory. Why? Because memory of him, I trust him. He is faithful. He didn't abandon me then. He's guided me through different times before, and he will do it again. My memory of him is good. His track record is reliable. You go by memory of what God has taught you in the dark and what he's shown you in the light. Our confidence is so often developed in the unseen. Our faith is surely tested in the dark times, but it's also matured and it's established in us. You go by memory of what the Word of God has taught you before. And just like that worship song goes that we're singing today, I throw up my hands and give you praise anyway. Whether you're in the dark right now, whether you can see the lines or not right now, I praise him in the light and I'll praise him in the dark. I praise him when I don't know how far I've come or how far I've got to go, but I'll praise you anyway because my memory of you is good. I love it when I can see. It's getting a little harder, I've got to tell you, but I love it when I can see. But what I can see in here is far more trustworthy than what I can see here. God has brought us through so many things. This little woman in the book of Kings is a phenomenal story. And it's because she had to call on God in the dark. She had to trust God in the times when she didn't know what her future looked like. And I see a few things out of this that I'll highlight to you this morning. The number one is availability. If there's no availability, there's no oil. If there's no empty, willing life to cry out and to call upon the name of God, then there's no vessel that he can fill because we are filled with our own, you know, I can pull this off myself. Availability is what God fills the empty jars. The second thing I see in this story in the book of Kings is partnership. We learn to work in partnership with God. God works with available people that will partner with him. She and the sons, as I've mentioned, had to collect the jars. It was a generational partnership with the plan and with the call of God. It was a generational partnership of this miracle that was taking place. What God does is generational. One of the things we've always prayed over Highway is, God, raise up a church that is filled with the generations. If you look across this room, it's not filled with young only, with old only, or people in between only. It is filled with generations from one generation to another, to another, to another. God is a generational God, and when he moves generationally. No matter the story that God was bringing into their lives, they've still got this little bit of oil. The oil thing hasn't changed, but what's changed in the story is their availability. What's changed in the story is what they're bringing before him. What's changing in the story is as they start pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, this thing is growing. Let me mention this psalm to you. I'm reading out of the King James. I forgot to mention the person up there that I'm going to the King James Bible, not the New King James, the King James. I know, it's, the, yeah. Psalm 4:1. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." I want you to see something in this. I don't normally go to translations with these thous and hast because it's too hard to get the words out, but it is just worded magnificently. And if you see something here, you see in the time of distress, there was the mercy of God. But also in the time of distress, in the hard places, what's taking place is that God is enlarging. He is enlarging. He brings about more of him in the story, and we are being enlarged. Yes, it talks about distress. Yes, it talks about hard things, but it also talks about mercy and enlargement. See, the situations in life, whether they, if they're difficult, they want to close you down, shut you down, cause you to lose perspective, lose your hope, lose your direction, lose your, I don't want to pray, it doesn't work, it's no good for me. Shut everything down. But what happens is, if we keep making room for God, then he comes into the story and he makes room for himself and his answers and his outcome in the story. As we have made for room for him, he makes room to do what he can do. This widow woman, we know her story by now. She's got no money. She's got no future. But God makes room in her life as she makes room for him. I can't tell you how many times over God has enlarged Byron and I over the years as we've had to trust him in our times of distress, in the times of setback or rejections. Times when his word to us seemed, you know, just so difficult to follow through on. You know our story, or maybe some of you don't because there's lots of new people in the church, but we were living in Western Australia and very settled, very happy, exactly where I wanted to be. And then God's word comes and says, pack up everything. Go back to Queensland and go to Bible college. Pack up everything. Pack up everything. This was like a burn your bridge time. This was like a Lot's wife don't look back moment. Wherever you've been, don't look back. Burn the bridge. You're not coming back here. And so pack up we did, travel the Nullarbor we did, arrive back in Queensland we did. To what? No job, nowhere to live, very little money. But what we did have was the capacity to call on his name. What we did have was an availability and a trust and a knowing that if we call on the name of God, he's able to open up doors and opportunities that we can't see right now. What we did, God, we're giving you a little bit of oil, which at that time, and it sounds funny, and people usually laugh when I mention our Datsun yellow 120Y. Hello, that was our little bit of oil. That's where we were practically living at the time. But if you will give to God your little, he can do a lot with a little. What he's looking for is not so much the little. He's looking for the availability and the faith that goes with it. And the name of God, bring into your story, make room for God, and he'll make room for what he wants to bring your way. The rest is history. The hard days were not wasted. We were enlarged in those times. We learned to trust and to call in those times. We called and he answered. And listen, what we're talking about this morning has to go beyond Sunday. It has to go beyond Sunday. It has to go beyond this Sunday. It has to go beyond next Sunday. It has to move into your life as a lifestyle with him. He is not a Sunday God. He is an eternal God. And his word remains forever. It has to go beyond Sunday. What Michael Phelps, the swimmer, was trained in, swimming in the dark, when he couldn't see the lines, in all of those dark times, he was being enlarged. He was being equipped, he was being trained, he was being developed, He was being discipled. He was being obviously capable of winning a world record in the dark. He got those 28 gold medals and more, I'm sure, since what I'm mentioning today. But he got a gold medal that will one day perish. The people of God, pardon? 30 medals, there you go. There's an update, 30 medals. But we're going for something that doesn't perish. We're going for something that is eternal. We're going for the high calling of God upon our lives. And every single person in this room, from front to back, side to side, at home this morning, you've all got a little bit of oil. God is looking for your little. He's looking for your availability. He's looking for your partnership. The four things I see in this story, and I've got to close because time is gone, is availability, it is partnership with God, it is enlargement. God is enlarging your space. He is enlarging your life, and days of abundance. They were told not to ask for just a few. Let me close with this prayer. This little prayer speaks to me about Jabez. Jabez's mother named him Jabez because it was connected with pain. Parents, be careful what you name your kids. They'll carry it throughout life. Jabez must have heard this story of pain his entire life. The stigma of pain, the memory of pain, the stories of pain. But when you make room for God, not to minimize the struggles or the distress you may have gone through, but when you make room for God, there's no room for victim. There's no room for victim, and that's not to diminish the hardships, because we face them. But when you make room for God, victim goes, and the story of God starts to grow within you. What he did when he started to pray this prayer in 1 Chronicles 4:10 was that I believe he said, I'm changing the stigma of my life. I'm coming from the ongoing things I've heard about pain my whole life, and I'm changing that stigma. I'm changing that label. I'm changing the atmosphere and the attitude of pain around my life, and I'm crying out to God, and I'm making room for him. I'm going to be enlarged in the process, and God can do something with my life. And there were seven things in this prayer in 1 Chronicles 4:10. It says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Seven things. He cries out to God like this woman in the book of Kings. There's something in the cry. There's something in the voice. Jabez says, God bless me. The empowerment of God upon our lives, that we are blessed of God. God enlarge my territory, which means let my influence go from coast to coast, and let me have an influence that brings glory to your name. Keep your hand upon me. God, I don't want to do this without your presence. I don't want to do this without your mighty hand on me. Let your divine protection be around me from harm and from evil. Free me from pain. I don't want to wear that tag anymore. And God granted his request. There is a partnership between what the heart believes and what the mouth speaks. There is a divine partnership because faith is connected very much to our attitude. It is connected to our attitude, because so often our attitude is one of just unbelief and negativity, and there is no room for that. There's no room for that. There must be room for God. Faith is connected to attitude. Faith is connected to what our heart believes and what our mouth speaks, and in that process, your pain can be turned into prosperity. Your distress can be, when you look back, your greatest time of enlargement, because God did something there. keep making room for God and staying available. Our story in this church here is not that there's no more jars. There's no more vessels, and therefore the oil stops. That is not the story over this church. If you want to change that story over your life, you got to make room for God. Make room for His Word. Our testimony is that we continue to be available, that we continue to partner with our God, that we continue to be enlarged, and we continue to say, God, we will not limit what You're about to do in the name of Jesus. And you know what? We're bold and we're courageous enough to ask. We are bold enough and courageous enough to say, God, I'm not stopping at a few. I'm bold and courageous enough to ask a big God to do amazing, amazing things. Is anyone with me this morning? In Jesus' name. Let's just pray together. Father, I pray right across this room today. I pray for those that will hear this message one day or sometime soon through the internet. I just pray that Your Word would go beyond this room. Your Word, I pray, would go beyond Sunday. I pray that Your Word, oh God, would continue and continue and continue to multiply and bring about the good things of God. I pray for every family. I pray for every business. I pray for those that are struggling this morning with health issues. God, I declare today that we are making room, that we are available for miracles, that we are available for divine turnarounds, that we are making room in our hearts, and we are allowing a connection from the faith in our hearts and the words that we speak for our God to do great and mighty things. Turn around in families and children, I pray. Businesses and health situations. In Jesus' name, will you give your God praise this morning and thanks for what has begun.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.